Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Tonight I'd like to ask you a question. And I think this is probably a question that everyone has wondered at some time or another in their life. The question is this: can God use me? Can God use me? Can you be used by God? If you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter number 17, verses 8 through 16. I can promise you I will not be long tonight. Pastor told me exactly how long to preach, and he is here. Right, and he is the boss. Now, quite honestly, he said take about 30 minutes, which is much better than Brother Furso says, because when Pastor's not here, Brother Furso usually says, I'm looking forward to your short devotional. So, Pastor having a little more of a spiritual heart is not a problem. So, 1 Kings chapter number 17, a familiar story about a widow that you would probably say had nothing that she could do for God. The Bible says this in 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she, and he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, and neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Can you, can I, be used by God? Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being in my home church, being with my pastor, and being with friends here tonight. Lord, we acknowledge this evening that you have been so very good to us. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that there is a great group of people here tonight that you want to continue to use. So many you've used already in great ways, but you promise us great mighty things that we know not. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that the greatest days of Lancaster Baptist Church can be in the future. And that this great lighthouse can reach even more people and shine even brighter, even as we see the day appearing. Lord, I ask for your help tonight in this, as in all other things. I pray that this will bring honor and glory to you. And I pray that all of us will have a desire to be used a little bit more for having been here in your house this evening. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This passage is an interesting one. It's interesting because, as we often think about things, God does not do things maybe the way we would do them. I often think about Pastor coming here 25 years ago, and I think about the faith of Pastor and Mrs. Chappell coming here, and to be quite honest with you, if I'd known about situations like this, in most situations, we probably wouldn't say to one of our graduates, here is a great place to go. Here is a great opportunity. The building's in foreclosure. They owe lots of debts. There's 12 adults there. But God sees things that we don't see. And by the way, I believe it's true in our life as well that God often sees things in us that He wants to work in us and through us that we don't see for ourselves. And that's why we need to say, Lord, help me to see things the way You would have me to see them. Not through my eyes of doubt or my eyes of sight, but rather through eyes of faith. Realizing that God wants to do great and mighty things today. It's a great encouragement to realize that the same God that did great things for Whitfield, Edwards, Brainerd, William Carey, and Hudson Taylor is the same God that we serve today. Tonight, as we look at this passage, I'd like to draw your attention, first of all, to the woman that God chose. I guarantee you, if you're looking for someone to start a hospice and help the prophets, this would not be the woman I'd choose. She was poverty-stricken. She had a burden in her heart. I guarantee you, if it were down to the last meal for myself and one of my children, could you imagine what an incredible burden that would be? I highly doubt if she was full of joy. She was literally preparing, if you will, a last supper. So we see she was poverty-stricken. We see that she was had a burden in her heart. We see that she had a boy in her hands. I believe that every parent here realizes that we often care far more for the welfare of our children than we do for our own lives. We'd much rather be someone be kind to our children than to our own selves. We'd rather give to them than take for ourselves. I grew up in a large family with 7 children, large numerically and spatially. But I remember times when we would eat a chicken, and when you have 9 people, 1 chicken doesn't work too well. You think of 8 pieces of chicken, my mom would cut it so there's 10. There'd be back pieces. And I remember to this day how often she would say, well, I'll take the neck. Most of us today, I believe, probably we saw a neck there, we'd throw it out with the kidneys and livers and whatever. She said, no, that's the one I want. I probably was 14 or 15 or 16 before I realized that she was deferring to us. Later on, when I remember she, I'll take the wings. I'm thinking there's no meat on those. She knew that. She cared for her children. We mattered. Here we have this widow woman who undoubtedly had the great mother's love for her son. And she's looking at a last meal. In fact, the Word of God says, she says, after I cook it, we may eat it and die. This is the woman that God's going to choose to use. And then we see there was barrenness in her home. We think of sustenance, having things that we could pull out. She had nothing other than a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. Maybe tonight as you sit here in the Lancaster Baptist Church, you may be thinking, as I believe many have thought before, well, God can use other people. They have gifts. They have talents. They have education. But I want to tell you tonight, my friend, that God can use you. God has something He wants you to do. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Have you ever stopped and thought that Noah was a drunk? Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced multiple times. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. I think God can use you tonight. We see, first of all, tonight, the woman God chose. Secondly, we see the work that God commanded. The work that God commanded. And I hope you have your Bibles open tonight. This is a beautiful lesson for us tonight. And the Word of God is so clear. And I believe that God is just saying, will you look at the lessons I give you? The Bible says in verse 12, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I must say this tonight, that this request seemed calloused. There have been places that pastor's been or Brother Godfrey's been, and I know at times we even feel awkward taking a love offering for the college. We may know the situation there in the church and the hardships or whatever they're facing. And yet the man of God said, I want you to give what you have. He was God's man. God sent him to where he was to be. God sent him to that lady. And God was about to do a great miracle. But a lady had to hear. And a lady had to respond. A lady had to admit that, yes, maybe God can use me. There is something in the little that I have that God can take. Because, my friends, God is a multiplier. So many times we want to add ourselves to what someone else is doing, but God multiplies, he doesn't add. It seemed calloused. Make for me a cake first. On Saturday, I'll begin traveling with a tour group, and I always tell the young people, I said, wait to be last in line to be served. Let the other folks go first. Help the senior citizens to go in, and we try to train them and teach them these things. But the prophet here said, feed me first. I believe with all my heart that the man of God here, Elijah, was saying, ma'am, will you put God first? Will you choose to put him first and to do the bidding of God before we feed our own self? This is replicated time and time throughout the pages of Scripture. We see it in Genesis chapter 24 with Eliezer, who was out trying to find a bride for Isaac. It says there was set meat before him deep, and he said, I will not eat until I've told my task. He realized that he had a job to do for the master. And here we see Elijah representing God, who says, will you put me first? Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brother Schmidt, Brother Halkin, I met with the seniors today at lunchtime, and I shared with them that verse, and I said, I believe in the principle of first things. In understanding the Bible, we follow a law called the law of first mention. I believe in the principle of first things in our life. I believe God wants us to give him the first day of the week. It's his. I believe God wants us to give him the first 10% and an offering of what we make. It is his. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. But I also believe it'd be a wonderful thing if we would go beyond that and maybe give God some of the first time in the day. Lord, I want to worship you first. I want to talk to you first. I want to serve you first. As I talked to those seniors, I said, why don't you think about giving God the first year of your adult life? The principle of first things. What he asked for was he asked for her poverty. He asked for her to give everything that she had, and that is very hard to do. Because in our calculating mind, and I know I'm extremely guilty of this at times, we figure what we can afford. But the prophet said to her, feed me first, and trust God to take care of you. In Mark chapter 14, verse number 8, there's an interesting statement. It says this, it says, she had done what she could. I wonder, friends, tonight, as the members of this great church, are we doing what we can do? Could it be said of us that we have done what we could do? We find in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 2, the Lord said unto him, speaking here of Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. This was what they used to walk. This is what they'd used to direct the flocks, what they'd used for defense. And God asked him to give it up. Moses did, and God used that rod. God used that rod to change the mind of Pharaoh. God used that rod to touch a rock and bring forth water. God used that very rod to be held over the Red Sea and to see that body of water divided. But first, it had to be given up. We see that, first of all, he asked for her poverty, but secondly, he asked for her priority. But first. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that with many of us, and I know in my life at times, that we make God very prominent in our life, but He has to be preeminent. He asks for absolute first place. Here we see that He is asking for priority. In the country of Germany and the city of Berlin, there's a very well-known art gallery. There's a painting there by an artist by the name of Adolf Menzel. Menzel lived from 1815 to 1905. He wanted to paint a picture of one of the greatest leaders in German history, whose name was Frederick the Great. And Menzel began to work on this painting that was to be his masterpiece. The general was there, Frederick the Great, speaking to his generals, and he did the background of the painting. He filled in the generals, leaving the place for Frederick the Great. He got the charcoal there and he outlined him. But the problem was, then Menzel died. This painting is still unfinished. People have often wondered what would have happened if he'd put the most important person of the painting in first. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be in first place in our life. Amen. It is not uncommon as I travel for people to tell me, well, when I'm finished with this, then I will serve the Lord. Or as young people graduate from college, well, I want to do this and this, and then I'll think about doing something for the Lord. Again, God is asking for priority in our life. Let's make sure that we as believers put the Lord Jesus Christ in the place He belongs, which is in the absolute center stage of our life. Amen. Let's make sure that that's not just outlined in charcoal, but is there in full vibrancy of color where people can see what Jesus means to us. Amen. He wants to be in first place. But then we see that He gave His promise. Yes, He asked for poverty. Yes, He asked for priority, but He gave God's promise. The Bible says about the promises of God that His promises are yea and everlasting. You could buy at many Christian bookstores little books that are just promises from God. Yes, some of His promises are conditional. Folks, the Bible is so full of so many wonderful promises. And you can trust them. The prophet came here and said, I have a promise. The promise is found, if you look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says this, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He said, you won't run out. You will have all you need. And by the way, one of the great parts of this story is that not only did she have meal and oil for herself and for her son, but the Bible says that she had what she needed for all of her house. It went on to be a blessing to others that were around her, not her immediate family alone. The flour and oil never run out. I was talking to Dr. Ouellette about this passage one time. He said, Dr. R., did you ever think about the fact that God replaced in kind? She gave flour, she gave oil, God gave her flour and oil. I think sometimes that we think if we give our time to God, we may not have that time again. Or we give our resources to God, but I could promise you this, my friend, you can't outgive God. The Bible says He'll give back to us good measure, pressed down and overflowing. What an amazing promise found there in Malachi. Missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in the faithfulness of God. In his journal, he wrote this. He said, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children will wake up with an appetite in the morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. He said, we do not expect Him to send 3 million missionaries to China, but if He did, He has ample means to supply them. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. His grace is sufficient. What a wonderful thing to be aware of. Depend on it, friends. God's work, done God's way, will never lack God's supply. He will supply all our needs. But then we see tonight, we see the wonder God performed. I have a little statement here that I would encourage you to jot down. God honored obedience with abundance. God honored obedience with abundance. She obeyed, and abundance came. You say, well, that's an Old Testament story. Have you heard about the loaves and fishes? With the 12 baskets left over, God honored obedience with abundance. We serve the same God today. He wants to bless you. We were created in the image of God, and I know how I want to do things for my children. How much more so the God of the universe for his children? We see here, first of all, the simplicity of obedience. God's principle is obey and you will be blessed. The book of Deuteronomy has a very simple theme throughout the book. There are blessings for obedience and losses or curses for disobedience. The choices are very simple. Blessings for obedience, curses or losses for disobedience. The Bible says it here in verse 15. You want a little four-word message here for children. She went and did. She went and did. How simple is that? Do you remember what Mary said at the marriage in Cana? Do what he tells you to do. Oh, that we just would obey what God tells us to do. Our pastors encourage us time after time to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit, to do as he leads us to do. Folks, when we do that, God will bless us. But so many times we say, well, I've always wanted to do this. Well, we ought to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We see the simplicity of obedience, just so simple. I think that there's not a person here who's has not at one time or another respected the obedience of a dog. We had big dogs at our home. My dad traveled a good bit as well. We had Dobermans and German Shepherds. And my mom was serious about these dogs obeying. She was also pretty serious about our kids obeying as well, which was not quite as enjoyable as watching the dog being trained. But she would take these dogs to obedience school. I heard a story not long ago about a missionary by the name of Archibald Rutledge who told about how he met a man who had a dog who'd been killed in a forest fire. The man was heartbroken as he told the story. He explained to Rutledge that he worked out of doors. He worked in the forest cutting wood. He'd always take his dog with him. We have two dogs at our house, both basically worthless. And I know I pay to feed them, but our little dog goes with Mark when he mows lawns. And wherever he goes, he'll go out and mow 17 or 18 lawns on a Saturday. And Max, who weighs about 5 pounds, will jump out and he'll run around the neighborhood. And when that engine starts up, that dog, bam, right back to the van. This man was in the forest and he had his dog there. And the dog was a very obedient dog. This man had brought his lunch and sat down, and he told the dog to stay there by the lunch pail. But then something horrific happened. A forest fire swept across this area, and it covered the spot where the dog was sitting. When the fire was finished, the man knew exactly where he would find the charred carcass of his dog. It was sitting exactly where he had told him to stay, right by a melted lunchbox. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it. As I read that story, I wondered to myself, I wonder when God tells us to do something, does he know that we will do it? God is just looking for people who will obey him. I must admit there's many things in the Bible I don't understand. Sometimes I'll call Brother Halker, Brother Lester with a difficult passage. But so much of the Word of God is so easily understood. It's just a matter of, will we obey? We need to believe God's Word. We need to obey God's Word. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament was Ezra. It says in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. To seek it and to do it, and then to teach it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And finally tonight, we see the sufficiency of omnipotence and omnipresence. The sufficiency of omnipotence and omnipresence. These are not words that we use frequently in our daily conversation. But really, they're quite simple. God, ladies and gentlemen, is all powerful. Numbers of times we've had special readings here during the leadership conference. Brother John Johnson has often stood right there. And he'll give a reading, he'll often say this, and you can trust him. I can hear his voice saying that. I like that. I've quoted that simple statement, you can trust him. God is all powerful, and he's always there. Amen. His ear is never hard where he cannot hear us. He's never asleep where he doesn't know what we're doing. We can never be separated from our God. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I believe with all my heart that if we really were aware of his omnipotence, his power, and his omnipresence, we would be far more likely to call on him with regularity and constancy. Do we think about the fact that God has all power? That God is always there? Not long ago, there was a senior class, not ours, that went to Washington, D.C. for their senior trip. And as you do in going to the Capitol, you go to the various monuments. And one of the places students like to go is the Washington Monument. It's a tall, tall monument, the tallest monument in America, in honor of our first president, the man who truly was the irreplaceable man of the American Revolution. One of the young men was there looking out the small windows at the top. Many years ago, when I was in junior high school or high school, I climbed the top. I remember after climbing the top, I thought it'd be a very valiant idea to take the elevator down. This man was not really paying attention. He was on one side, not really watching his classmates. And suddenly he looked around and he realized that his classmates were all gone. He rushed over and he pushed the button in the elevator. And at that time, the elevator, I believe it still does this time, stopped running at 5 p.m. He said, oh my goodness. He began to walk down the stairs, finally reaching the bottom. There was no one at the bottom either. He went over to the door to open the door to walk out, and the door was locked. His friends had forsaken him. He began to knock on the door. And then the fear rose to a little bit of panic, and he goes, man, maybe they won't find me till tomorrow. And he was in there for 3 hours and 13 minutes. All of a sudden he looked over, and he saw a phone on the wall. It said, in case of emergency, pick up the phone and be connected to the Park Service. He went over, picked it up, and said, I'm locked inside the Washington Monument. And in less than 10 minutes, someone had come over, unlocked the door, and let him out. We think about that. We say, how ridiculous. He could have gotten out at any time. And yet, how often do we fail to avail ourselves of the fact that God says to come boldly to the throne of grace? Did we walk with him today? Did we talk with him today? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe tonight that God not only can use you, he wants to use you. He used a rock. He used a donkey. He used a river. He's used the sun. He used a carrion bird like a raven. And yet man is the crown of his creation. And God created us for the very simple purpose to communicate with him and to serve him. I hope that as we enter this summer, that we'll ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to walk with him and work for him.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.